Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Dr. Clifford L. Fry challenges readers to look into the theories of where creatures come from in his compelling book, Is Your Ancestor a Monkey? An exploration of key issues in the evolution versus creation debate. His book examines the importance of the Big Bang, the building blocks of life, DNA information, archaeological evidence, intelligent design, and near-death experiences. Dr. Fry, who has a PhD in economics, has worked in academia at Texas A&M University, Washington State University, and the University of Houston. He's been a financial economist at the Federal Reserve, in private banking, and for 17 years, a co-owner of an economics consulting firm. Dr. Fry has published in peer-reviewed journals in economics and finance. He's helped nonprofits devoted to curing Rett syndrome. A singer, songwriter, musician, founder of Dr. Fry's Texas Medicine Band. By the way, his song's available on streaming services such as iTunes and YouTube. He resides with his wife and daughter in College Station, Texas. Currently, he's associate director of the Hagler Institute for Advanced Studies at Texas A&M University. Clifford Fry, PhD, author of Is Your Ancestor a Monkey? An Exploration of Key Issues in the Evolution versus Creation Debate, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Fry, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here. People are probably wondering why an economist is dealing with this subject, but let me tell you, we're all novices in this subject. And I've been trained in some investigation, and that's what takes place in this book. I examine all the key issues in a very short way, by the way. In 60 pages, because I don't want to read any 500-page book about this, but it is, it's got 43 references, footnotes, and all of this is a collection of information from scientists for people to help make up their own mind about this issue.
That's what I like. You present both sides, and we have a chance to look at the evidence there, highly researched, by the way, in Dr. Fry's book, Is Your Ancestor a Monkey? And then we can come to our own conclusions. You give us the foundation, and thank you for not making this 500 pages. You've got just enough it holds our attention. You've got all the information we need. You're not fluffing it out to do 400 or 500 pages. You've got it there that we can understand it. Where did this interest come from? What inspired you to write this book? What questions were you asking yourself that you thought others probably were as well?
Well, one is there's just an inconsistency. There's a lot of people believe in God, and then there's a lot of information in courses in schools that do not allow a creator to even be mentioned, by the way, yes, in science courses. And they attribute, some of them, they attribute the existence of us humans to blind natural processes that took place over millions of years. And this is a big difference between these two. And there are a lot of implications of them. But first of all, just for the title, there's this old joke about a little girl who goes to her daddy and says, "Where do we come from?" And the daddy says, "Well, honey, we evolved from the monkeys." So she goes to the mother and says, "Mom, where do we come from?" And she says, "Well, God created us, honey." And the little girl says, "Well, that's not what Dad said. Dad said we came from monkeys." And the mother says, "Well, that's your father's side of the family." So that's kind of where the title came from. But it also is a serious title in the sense that that's the implication of a lot of things. Why I found out that it's a lot easier to believe in something than to explain why you believe it. And in discussions, particularly with some younger people who somehow have been taught that the mention of a creator is some anti-science thing, and which basically means, hey, if you believe in God, you're kind of a fool, so to speak, that kind of implication. And so I wanted to be able to address this on the grounds that they may be encountering as well. And I think it has a lot of implications beyond just this debate.
Well, it does. So
if you go, for instance, to the Declaration of of independence. We have inalienable rights from our Creator. There's a myth also that the mention of a Creator erases science. Let me give you an example. If you ask me right now who created the faces on Mount Rushmore of the presidents, I have no clue. I could look it up, but I have no clue. But I do know that is the result of an intelligent design. It is not something that nature is going to create in a month, and I don't even think in a million years it would create it. So if I deny the idea of a creator has intelligence behind the creation of humans, and that's really true, why is that science? If science is truth, then why is denying that creator anti-science? Well, the other part is, I think it's a myth that a creator mentioned in science courses is anti-science, because I can examine the structure of those faces on Mount Rushmore and examine all the material aspects I want to. And I don't know who created the Easter Island statues either, but I can examine all the material aspects. And a creator is different from religion. A religion refers to how I perceive a creator and how I choose to worship a creator. But you can have the existence of a creator acknowledged without going into religion.
Now, I mentioned in the beginning, this book is thoughtful and it's compelling. You can tell in listening to Dr. Fry the meticulous research and thought that went into the book. The book is Your Ancestor a Monkey? An Exploration of Key Issues in the Evolution versus Creation Debate. You'll find the book, of course, at Amazon, all the usual places. Dr. Fry's website is CliffordLFry.com. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And it's interesting, all the research that went into this. Tell us a little bit about maybe a main argument. Let's take both sides now. A main argument of those advocating materialistic view of the creation of humans. What's the main argument on that side of the debate?
Okay, thank you for asking. I want to make something very, very clear. I have a lot of respect for what goes on in biology. Lord, there's a bunch of it here at A&M. It's great.
Yes.
And I do. If you say, "Oh, I've always thought God and the evolution was compatible," you know, I say, "Fine, we stop there. That's not what I'm addressing. You believe in a God creator? That's it. I don't have anything more to say to you." What I'm addressing is that element that says we result from blind material forces with no input from a supernatural creator at all. We are just the product of blind processes. And here's the way the story goes. I'm sure y'all have seen it somewhere. You have the lake or the sea, and it has these building blocks of life in it, and they combine to form life. And then you have some creature eventually crawling on land, and then all of this develops over millions of years into the tree of life from which all the apes and us evolve. That's it, period. That is basically the story. Now, they have evidence of that. They have fossils of different types that they've examined over time. They have examined the DNA of certain things. There's a lot of commonality of DNA. In fact, if you'll encounter this, they say we're the closest to chimpanzees, for instance. Well, you remember the Tarzan movies?
Exactly.
Tarzan had a chimp, and the chimp would do backflips and everything, and Tarzan was out there fighting alligators and rescuing Jane and everything. But there's a heck of a lot of difference between Tarzan and that chimpanzee. So that, at a gut level, I have a little hard time saying that. Now, they're saying, "Oh, it's at a chemical level." Okay, well, if it's at a chemical level, what are the differences and how did we get there? And that has to be explained. And so the book addresses some of this. And if you that they say it happens over millions of years through the mutations and survival of the fittest. You've heard those terms.
Yes.
And so let's just talk about that for a minute. What does survival of the fittest mean? It means of existing things, some will survive, some won't. It doesn't mean creation of anything new. Okay? So that cannot be an explanation.
Interesting.
Of where we come from. The second thing is mutations. And I thought, well, there's where the answer is. There's got to be a bunch of mutations that occur and generate people. And you know what I found? And it's quoted in the book. There's scientists that say they've never seen a mutation that added information. It always took it away. And I have a daughter with Rett syndrome with a mutation that took away some of her development process. And that doesn't prove anything. But the scientists, I quote in the book, if that is true, there is no explanation embedded in mutations and survival of the fittest that explain us.
You break it down. Now, yeah, finish that thought. I just want to say you break this down so well. If you're just joining us, the book is Your Ancestor a Monkey? You'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And the author is Clifford Fry, F-R-Y, and his website is cliffordlfry.com. All this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Go ahead and pick up on that thought, because that's fascinating.
Okay. The argument by the evolutionist starts with the existence of Earth, with the existence of the sea, et cetera, and the existence of the building blocks of life. There's no explanation of where it comes from. But what's key to it is there is a biochemist, PhD, that I quote in the book, and he says, building blocks of life do not create life, that cells have to have life in them already in order to replicate. And that's why they've never been able to develop life in the laboratory with these building blocks of life. And what I'm talking about is oxygen, hydrogen, yes, nitrogen, carbon, blah, blah, blah. And you can put all those together and mix them up and you don't get a life, because life has to be present in the cells in order for them to replicate and develop. So where does that come from? There's no explanation in the materialist view. The other thing is that they do not explain life, because life has to be assumed in the cells. The other thing that's interesting is if you look at what goes on now in DNA, we know a lot about DNA that Darwin didn't know. Darwin, for example, examined the changes in beaks of finches on an island in response to the environment, okay? And what we're talking about is one species developing into another. If you ask scientists right now, hey, can cats mate and have a dog? No. Vice versa, no. And yet, we came eventually from some type of ape or chimpanzee.
Yep, yes.
And if you look at the cells now, what we know about cells, extremely complex. They have motor engines in them that are incredible. If you got time for me to read a little something to
sure.
you about one of these. This is on page 17 of the book, and it says, design that was hidden from view has now been exposed. One of the earliest molecules so mapped was the crystal structure of the F1 ATPase enzyme. The Japanese team that produced the map discovered nature's own rotary engine. This is within a cell, okay? No bigger than a billionth by 10 billionths by 8 billionths of a meter. This tiny motor includes the equivalent of an engine block, a drive shaft, and 3 pistons. It is a variable speed motor that runs at speeds between 0.5 and 4 revolutions per second. There's no way nature came up with that.
Wow.
On its own. There are other examples of that type thing in the book, but also DNA, There are 3 billion pairs of DNA in a human. And they say, oh, yeah, we're close to a chimpanzee. There's still millions of pairs of DNA that are different. Where do these come from? And not just the DNA. There's information that is embedded in this DNA that allows proteins to be made through a whole complex process. And there are PhD scientists that say, look, the idea that, nature could create even one protein is one divided by one followed by 74 zeros. I mean, it's basically zero.
Yes.
So with these types of information, you know, how do you say that we have the explanation for where humans come from? Now, but let me take it a step further. You could punch holes in things, but is there evidence of a creator anywhere? Well, look at what physics says, where we come from. The Big Bang, the universe came into existence from a point at one point in time. Secondly, the living cells have to be there for creation. Remember, I mentioned that by the biochemist Sygard. You can look at it in the book. There are problems with the explanations of the biology, but here's another point looking at toward the creator. Intelligent design is a new field that is poo-pooed by a lot of scientists. But basically, it says this. You can scientifically observe things and know whether an intelligence was behind the design of it. Like I talked about Mount Rushmore.
Exactly.
Mount Rushmore, that is the evidence that somebody created that. Well, that's the same thing in the cells. They're so complex. The process of creation of proteins in the body is so complex. There's no way that nature could build this with just random processes. They have to be designed, and because many, many components have to be there in their entirety in order to work. Just take a mousetrap, for instance. You take away one little piece of a mousetrap, and it doesn't work. Well, that's the same thing here. The components have to be there in their entirety at once, and there's no way they could be developed slowly over time. There's no way there'd be an advantage to developing part of a mousetrap over time without the whole thing. You see?
Yes.
So the other thing is consciousness. I don't think there's any satisfactory explanation of consciousness. The other thing is near-death experiences, and I think they ought to be taken very seriously. Look at Mary Neal's book, for instance. She was a physician that was not particularly religious, and she was trapped underwater for 30 minutes, and she describes in this book what happened to her. Now, that is a personal type of a story, and a lot of people poo-poo it, but those stories are there, and they should be examined pretty carefully because there's a lot of proof about them. There is one lady who had one of these near-death experiences. She left her body. She said, hey, there's a tennis shoe on the third floor of the hospital on the ledge out there. Somebody ought to get it off. Well, there's no way she was anywhere close to being able to see that. And it was, sure enough, it was there, where they recount conversations in other parts of the hospital of the loved ones. But here's the point. If the soul exists independent of the body, that is proof that the materialist view is wrong.
Yes. It's so interesting. Finish that thought,
okay,
please.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, finish that thought.
Go ahead. Okay, I think all of this is very important because let me tell you what our kids are being taught. One, you can't mention a creator. It's anti-science, and it's kind of silly to believe in a God. You can't see a God, and by golly, I can't pick up the phone or talk to God like I'm talking to you. I'm not saying I have any straight line to God either, but here's the problem. If we are a pile of chemicals, we have no inherent value whatsoever. We have no solid ethics. Chemicals don't have ethics. If we evolve from the primordial soup of chemicals, we've got a real problem because we have no God-given rights. We have no ethics that are solid. It leads to the idea, hey, I can choose my own truths. I can just do anything. See what I mean?
Yes, yes.
And what's worse is you're teaching individuals they have no inherent value. There's no value to chemicals. I can strike a match and I can change the chemical composition of the match from one to the other. Then I can kill a person that just changes their chemical composition, but there's no inherent ethics against it. If I am really, truly the result of materialist forces. So these things have implications beyond just, you know, whether you believe it came from a monkey or not.
Yeah, and you get my attention in the beginning when you say this is beyond classroom interest. If a creator, well, the possibility there of an afterlife, if material forces, death is the end. If that doesn't get your attention to read more in the book, I'm not sure anything is going to. It's very compelling, and the book is so well laid out. What kind of response are you getting, Dr. Fry?
Well, the ones who have read it gave me 5 stars.
Yes.
Now, whether and everybody that reads it doesn't rate it on Amazon, you know, so I don't really have a lot of feedback from it, but everybody that I know that's encountered it, and not just friends, they think highly of it. It's basically a quick examination of these issues. And maybe I'm missing something, and maybe somebody will come up with some explanation I haven't found. But I've spent a couple of years looking at this, and I haven't found any more explanations than what I put in the book.
Well, the arguments you make
that are key to it.
And you lay that out, the building blocks you lay out in the book, as you discussed here on the program. The book is easy to read, 43 footnotes there. Everything is documented, highly researched. Dr. Fry just said 2 years to put this book together. The book is Your Ancestor a Monkey? An Exploration of Key Issues in the Evolution versus Creation Debate. I got about a minute or so left here. Doctor, are you working on anything else? I mentioned everything you've got going in the background, including a music career that you had of some note. Are you working on another book?
Well, I have a little bit. I don't know if I will finish it. I'm interested in also the basis for Christianity, because that's the religion I was exposed to.
Yes.
And grew up in most. And in fact, the Jewish religion and the Muslim religion buy into a lot of the Old Testament. So, yeah, I'm thinking about that because I want to know if it's true. You know?
Yes, exactly.
And this is getting off the topic, but Christianity, the basis of it is whether Jesus rose from the dead or not. And I'm going to examine the evidence for that.
I hope you do, and I look forward to that because I keep using compelling and thoughtful. That's exactly 2 words to describe by Dr. Fry's book. The book is available wherever books are sold. Is Your Ancestor a Monkey? An Exploration of Key Issues in the Evolution versus Creation Debate. And, of course, information on Dr. Fry's website, which is very simple. CliffordLFry.com. Dr. Fry, time went by way too quickly. A pleasure having you on the program. Excellent job with the book. Your Ancestor a Monkey? I love the title. The book's available wherever books are sold. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much, Rick.
It's been a pleasure.
Enjoy your shows.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure to have Dr. Fry on a program today. The book is Your Ancestor a Monkey? An Exploration of Key Issues in the Evolution versus Creation Debate. Best place to get information and order the book is Dr. Fry's website, CliffordLFry.com. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.